Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. The Lord is the strength of His people. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Blessed be the Lord. Let us pray together for the Talek Kohanim. We pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. God says to the woman, what is this that you have done. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord God says to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and thus you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grad school is also found on the inside cover of the bulletin. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. Our discipline today is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. The fourth chapter beginning with verse 13 and then at the end of Psalm 4 we can see out to the first verse of chapter 5. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you to his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. And it is the peace of God. Please stand for the hour. The Holy Gospel according to St. the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard of it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. And the scribes came down from Jerusalem, saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he cast out the demons. He called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, then a kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But it's coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they have said, he has the unclean spirit. And his mother and his brothers came standing outside with sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. father is my brother. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together to speak the words of our faith. And this morning, we do so using the Nicene Creed, which is written for you on page 191. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all things, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who from us came, and from our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the first family, and was made man, was crucified also for us. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom is now defeated. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped. Glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now, please be seated. For our sermon today, we have in number 720, we walk by faith and not by sight. Please note that we will be singing that to a different tune. The tune is from O God, our help in ages past. So, hymn number 720. Mercy and peace be with you, God our Father, and the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today is the epistle, which is from 2 Corinthians, mostly in chapter 4. And our reading, of course, goes on to the first verse of chapter 5. And here in this passage, Paul is writing about all things visible and invisible. That's what the things that are seen and the things that are unseen. So the as we just sang in our sermon, we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an unseen God, but we know that that God will never leave us, never forsake us. This is the test. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I am pleased to report to you that I have been averaging 4 sleep per night course of the last couple weeks. That's been a nice change of pace for me. It's been a blessing. It's one of the perks of school being out in the summer that we don't have this crazy, strict morning routine getting the kids ready for school right now. We get a little bit of a break from all of those things, having to get them dressed, get them some food in their bellies, have to frantically search for lost shoes, do homework, get some library books, out the door by a certain time, and then when that's finally all done, then for me personally, I also have to get myself ready to teach confirmation in the first hour of the school day, right? And so it's nice to have a break from it. We wouldn't want those things to go away forever, but it's just nice to have some relaxed, unstructured mornings for a time. That is a good thing. Of course, summer brings with it the unstructured problems that take place. Of the year when there's not as much of a schedule that has its own issues and problems, but the extra sleep is a good thing. Now, that being said, it is true right now in the summer that sunrises happen a lot earlier than other times of the year, but today the sunrise, the Boylston, is at 5:33 a.m., and it will continue to get a little bit earlier each day for about the next week and a half or so. Summer solstice, the longest day of the year. So, if you're the type of person who likes things like sunshine, that's a really great thing. Longer days, more sun, that's wonderful. But I gotta tell you, those first few days when school let out, for our sun pack especially, this became somewhat of an issue. Because you would wake up with the sun. And that was about hour earlier than everybody else in the house. And so he was kind of confused by that. Like, why is everyone else sleeping when the sun is not sleeping anymore? He doesn't fully have this concept of sun figured out, right? And when he wakes up that early, he has this domino effect for the rest of the day. He becomes tired and more irritable earlier than normal later on in the day. Also, it's begging for lunch at like 9 o'clock in the morning, right? Things like this. But when this first started, there was also some anxiety. He would wake up and realize that he was the only one around. His little brain told him that he was alone. And that is a scary thought. So then he starts yelling at the top of his lungs at 5:30 in the morning until one of us jumps out of bed to check on him, right? But it's interesting. I don't really claim to fully understand everything that goes through the mind of a 4-year-old. But I do know that there is this thing in our brains that develops over time, which reassures us that even when we can't see something or someone right in front of us, that doesn't mean that it's gone for you. Right? This thing that reassures us that just because mom and dad can't be seen at this moment, it doesn't mean that I'm alone, it doesn't mean that I'm abandoned. The proper term for this concept is object permanence. It's something that starts to take root in all of us at a very, very early age, like as early as 6 months old, we start to grasp the concept of object permanence. It's roughly about 75 years ago or so, when a well-known psychologist by the name of John Piaget had recognized this and labeled this as one of the first major milestones in every child's development. Would grasp the concept of object permanence, that you can understand in your mind that something can still exist even if I can't see it. When baby figures that out, that is a really can see this happen along the way just by playing normal games with a baby. Like, for example, right? So, like, if you cover your face with your hands over the blanket temporarily or whatever, and you go, peek-a-boo! Say it again. Peek-a-boo! So, is it right? It's fun to be able to make the baby laugh. What you do, but you don't always realize you're actually teaching this really great skill at the same time. But just because you can't see my face, that doesn't mean that I cease to exist. So when I say peek-a-boo, I'm teaching you that I'm still here, even though you couldn't see my face. There's a downside to it, though. And the downside is that once this concept of object permanence is correct, it also usually brings along with it this other thing that babies end up having to deal with, something that we call separation anxiety. So once I understand that Mommy and Daddy are still here, even if I can't see them, well, now, not seeing them causes me anxiety. And so I might scream and cry until they're back in my line of sight. And, of course, that separation anxiety can be something that develops over time, too, where some kids end up dealing with that all throughout their childhood, and there are plenty of adults who deal with separation anxiety as well. So, okay, all that being said, would like for us to think about this concept of object permanence in light of the things that we hear about in this epistle reading from St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's something that I think that's helpful for us to understand anytime we have an opportunity to read from either 1 or 2 Corinthians, these letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, is that when Paul is writing to them, he's writing to people that he knows personally, very, very well. The book of Acts teaches us that Paul had spent 18 months of his ministry in the city of Corinth, which, I know, for us in Oilsville, that doesn't sound like that long of a time for a pastor to live in the community and serve a congregation, right? We're used to a much different situation. I know that I'm only the 13th pastor in 157 years of history here, so we're used to longer pastorates around here. And so it's a lot different from the situation in Corinth. But I still would say 18 months, a year and a half, is still pretty significant in the time and ministry of Paul when you consider that there's only one other place where Paul spent more time than this. And that was the 3 years that he lived in city Ephesus. So my point is that if you consider the relatively long period of time that Paul used to invest in this community, this church in Corinth, when you think about how he spent that time establishing, laying the foundation for this thriving ministry in the heart of a really busy city of Corinth, you read these letters and you realize Paul is talking to people that he cares about a lot. He really cares for them as individuals. You can hear in his language the kind of love and concern that he has for these individual souls. And along with that love and concern also comes through a little bit of frustration with the way that they have been acting. Pretty much as soon as Paul had left the city, that's when they start misbehaving. It's hard enough to be a congregation, a faithful congregation, in the midst of this giant pagan city. But on top of that, they had all these internal problems and issues that they were dealing with, and it didn't help them. Basically, what it comes down to is they forgot object permanence when it came to Paul's teachings specifically. But even more importantly, when it comes to God's Word itself. As soon as Paul was out of sight, they just focused on the things that they could see right in front of them. And because they were only focusing on those earthly things right in front of them, that's what led to arguments and divisions. That's what led to them tolerating all kinds of sexual immorality. That's what led to them abusing the Lord's Supper. And the list goes on of all the things that Paul has to write to them about in these letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians. So, with with all of that background and context in mind, then we see why Paul writes the things that he does here in this section of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's clearly, in this part of his letter, trying to get those Corinthian Christians to get out of this mindset that the only things that matter in this world are the things that you can see right in front of you. That's why he leads into this discussion by talking about things you can't see. The first thing we hear about here is about the resurrection of Jesus. This is what Paul says in verse 14. He says, "He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." In other words, here's a big reminder in Corinthians that object permanence applies to Jesus. That he's still here, even if you can't see him. That Jesus rose from the dead. He's still alive. He's still his promise that he's going to come back and bring all of us into this resurrection with him. Even though Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, even though we can't always see him right in front of our faces, he is still here. He is still with us. He's still among us. Which means probably ought to live our lives as though we believe that. Certainly in the way that we speak, certainly in the decisions that we make, the way we live our lives, but also in the way that we trust in Jesus when things aren't going so well. Because otherwise, it's like we basically would all like that at 5:30 in the morning, thinking that we're alone and abandoned and yelling and crying. But no, we are not. We know that God is in control no matter what it is that we face on earth, even if it's really difficult things, and that's why Paul goes on in this passage to say this, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction, you know, it doesn't always feel like a light momentary, but it's in comparison to this eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. What Paul is describing here, once again, is object permanence. Things that exist, even though you can't see them. The power of the Holy Spirit working within us from the very moment of conversion, right? The moment that we become little babies in the faith, little spiritual infants, we have this really important concept to grasp ourselves. Be able to understand that there are things that exist that we can't see. And just because we can't see them, that doesn't mean that they're not there. There are things that cannot be perceived naturally by our senses here on earth. It's such an important thing for us to grasp as disciples of Christ, because this is the only thing that can give us any real hope at all. We can't have real hope if we have this limited perspective that just focuses on everything that's right in front of us. Because everything that you see in this world, even the really good things that bring you lots of joy, all of it is perishable. None of it lasts forever. The things that are seen are transient. If we actually believe that, that should change the way that we live our lives. It should change the things that we value. It should change the things that we cling to. It should change what our priorities are. It should give us the ability to live for much more than just the 70, 80, 90 years or whatever God gives us in this life. So much more than that. It also helps us to get through the spiritual separation anxiety that we feel from time to time. We know that our true home is with Jesus in eternity. Because we know that, though, because we grasp know that our home is in heaven, so we often then feel discouraged about what we have to deal with here. All this hard work that we've got to do all our lives long just to make ends meet, just to pay the bills, just to provide for ourselves and for our loved ones, it's hard. And when things are hard, when life feels unfair, you might start to think for a moment that maybe God is sleeping in on a summer morning. That maybe he's not paying as close attention to you as he should. Maybe he's forgotten about you. Maybe he's abandoned you. Maybe you're all alone. It's when we really need to remember Paul's words. Slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. It's not going to be very long before we are in the presence of God in heaven. It's not going to be very long before we receive the gift of that resurrection from the dead. That's kind of a pastory way of saying that life is short. It's not going to be very long at all. It'll be here before you know it. In the meantime, what we can see is that actually what God is doing is he's kind of covering his eyes. And he's going, peek-a-boo! This is what the Lord is doing for us. He might hide his face every once in a while, but he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He has that divine covenant about him that is with us not just here on earth and not just in heaven, but also on the last day, on the day of the resurrection. We can trust our God even when we can't see him. But we know that there is a greater day coming when every tongue will see him. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Peek-a-boo! What a blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen. And may the peace of God which surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in truth. Praise Jesus, Holy One. Amen. With the formation of these things, we will now turn to page 192 of the same schedule. Especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, is my body, which is given for you. This is the remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament. It's the shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This view as often as we drink it is remembrance of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. for your information. My family and I will be heading out of town this week. We have a wedding to attend on Saturday in Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. So I will not be here next Sunday. We will have a guest pastor, Pastor Timothy Schneider, of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. He's going to be talking about their ministry. It's a wonderful organization which provides materials, Lutheran materials in all different kinds of languages to support missionaries that we have all over the world. And so, Pastor Schneider will be here to lead our worship service on Sunday. He can tell us a little bit more about that ministry. While I'm gone, I'll be out of the office from this Thursday through the following Wednesday night. So if there are any emergencies, pastoral emergencies, while I'm here, Pastor Miller in the Middle East is free to be able to call for me, and his cell phone number is printed for me in the bulletin. Of course, you can always call me in the office and she can redirect me as well. Also, to mention, we have vacation Bible school coming up soon. And so to make sure that you're taking notes, the week of June 24th through the 28th, celebrate the city for VBS. We'll be gathering here in the sanctuary. We'll be using some of the rooms over in the school as well. It's going to be a wonderful week. And we hope that you'll register your child, a grandchild, that you volunteer. There's a code in the bulletin, and you can also check out our Facebook page. There's a link there to do that registration. Sunday the 23rd, when I return from my vacation, we're going to start a new adult Bible class. We'll be studying the book of Revelation together. We're going to be going verse by verse through St. John's Revelation, right into the Bible. All of the imagery involved with that, the symbolism, we're going to talk through all the things, how it begins to free the Christians and understand the different symbolism that we can encounter there and find there. You're all welcome to join us 8:30 in the morning on Sunday for that study. Otherwise, you can join us on Facebook, or you can watch that on demand on Facebook as well, whenever it's convenient for you. I want to let you all know that is beginning on the 23rd. The day before that, there is a 20-30 pool party that's going to happen at Adam J. Brommeyer's house. Their address and Shane's phone number are printed in the bulletin for that day, June 22nd, beginning to get to the 20-30 pool party. Anything else today?
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.